You have your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. We'll be reading there in just a moment. You know, I know a lot of lessons actually that are based on roads. Seems like every so often I end up repeating myself, and not from a lesson standpoint, but a topical standpoint. But this one's a little bit different than the ones I've done in the past, because this is the Damascus Road. And really what this road is a road of change. And first of all, when we just think about a road in itself, you know, really what is a road? You know, you think about, you know, we have these great paved roads here, but there's always been roads that have been traveled that, you know, that haven't been paved, but everyone's always has gotten to a destination some way, somehow, through point A, point B, following a road. And that's really what it is. You know, it's a road that's going to take you to a destination. And hopefully when you're on this road, you know where you're going. And if you don't know where you're going, there's always maps that can lead you there. Today there's GPS that can lead you there. You even have it on your phone. and so whatever road we're on, we should know and be expecting the destination. Well, there's a thing about Paul, though. And I think we're all going to connect a lot to Paul through this lesson. See, Paul was on a road. Paul was on a road that he knew, but he was also on the wrong road. And he was going to go to a destination that he didn't want to go to, but he didn't know it. Well, see, you and I, we have to look at our lives and we have to see, are we on a road that's going to lead us to the destination that we're supposed to go to? Are we on a road that's going to lead us in a direction that no one wants to go? And I think by looking at Paul and his life here on this Damascus Road, we can connect to him, and maybe there might be a change that we need to make in our lives to make sure that we're on the same road that Paul ended up being on. First, let's go to chapter 7, and let's start in verse 44. So just a few, so towards the end, we're going to read 44 to the end of the chapter. And so here's Stephen. He's given his defense and really why he does the things that he does. And in verse 44, he goes, "Our fathers had a tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he spoke to Moses, directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it as their turn, our fathers brought it with Joshua upon dispossessing the nations whom God drove out before our fathers until the time of David. David found favor in God's sight and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me? Says the Lord. Or what place is there for my repose? Was it not my hand which made all these things? You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become, you who received the law as ordained by angels, yet did not keep it.'" So pause right here for just a moment. So we see here Stephen. All Stephen is doing is just teaching the truth. He's presenting the word to these people who really think they know God, but in the end, they never have known God. They are living in a way that God is not expecting them, specifically rejecting Jesus Christ. And so you and I, we can hear God's word. We need to follow it. Otherwise, we are doing the same thing in which we are rejecting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came here to show that he's the Word. He went to the cross just as the Word said he would. But all of this was to show and prove that God is real. You know, we talked about in Bible class today how God's expectation for man was for God and man to dwell together. That is all God has ever wanted. He tried the dwelling initially here on this earth. It didn't work. You know, man made a decision to go after this tree, and this tree was supposed to be the one thing they cannot go after. And yet they chose to go after it. And now today, God gave us Christ so that we can one day dwell with him. That's all God has ever wanted, was to dwell with his created beings. Nothing else. Let's continue on. But look at what the word of God can do to people who don't want to follow it. Verse 54. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. You know, they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to believe this word. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen, as he called the Lord, and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. So we see Stephen here, you know, he loses his earthly life, but you obviously we know he continues because his spiritual life lives forever. But it was Saul, though, who was providing permission for these people to do what they did. And Saul has a lot of influence in really the wrong direction here towards God's people. Instead of teaching and showing God's people the Word of God, he is now, at this time, responsible for killing them. And if we continue on to the next few verses, we can see that. Look at verse 1. It says, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. So we see Saul. This is a Saul who did not know Jesus. This is a Saul who was taught for so long what the Word of God was and how you're supposed to follow a certain law to a degree, which includes putting to death those that are actually following the one true Word. So we see right here Saul, he's spiritually blind. He is spiritually blind to the truth. He actually does not know what the truth is. And see, each and every one of us, though, we could also go through this life spiritually blind. You may hear someone teach you the truth. You may know bits and pieces of the truth, but you may spiritually blind yourself and never wanting to follow it. And if you do that, you're never going to see Jesus. You're never going to see the heavenly home. But see, this isn't about that side of this life. This is the Damascus Road and about each and every one of us being willing and able to change. And now that we go into really the meat of this lesson, as you think about your life and really what needs to be changed in it, the question you have to ask yourself is that when this Damascus Road, this travel that we're going through, are we changing for the right reasons and are we going to change going forward? Because I think what Paul will show us is that when he understood what the truth was, he never went back to Saul. He became Paul, and he stood strong for Paul for the rest of his earthly life. And we know for a fact where he's at for an eternal one. So we're going to go to chapter 9. We're going to read the first 31 verses, but we're going to kind of pause throughout. So there's a lot of reading coming up, but really this lesson teaches itself. And that's the great thing about Paul's journey and Paul's life, is this one is a perfect example for us if you want to know how to change your life. Being willing to do it, because Paul commits the rest of his life to Jesus Christ, just like you and I should be doing. All right, let's go to chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And we'll pause here and there. So it says, Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any belongings to the way. Both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he was, so you see Paul is traveling to Damascus here, trying to find more people to stop this teaching. That's his goal here, is to stop people. But see, this is not going to be a change to stop people. This is going to be a change for Paul. Look at verse 3. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, as suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. I'll pause right there. So here's Saul. He hears this voice. He hears this flashing. He sees this spiritual lightning now. Like this, something has come to life. And he is being told, "You got to do something." Now, he could stop right there and say, "No, I'm not doing nothing. I'm going to continue down this road because my goal is to follow people who are saying this Jesus is the Christ, and I'm going to kill them. That's what I'm going to keep doing." But look at what he does, though. Verse 8, he says, "Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drink." Now we see Paul does not question anything. He gets up. He cannot see. But he does not question what's happening to him. Because he knows that there's something different in about what he just heard and what he's feeling. There's a change within inside of him. And he's going to feel this change. And he's going to recognize that I've got to change. Just like you and I. Are we going through this life? Is there something that we feel we need to change, that we must get rid of in our lives? See, Paul was going through killing Christians. That was his life. That was something he had to stop. He couldn't continue that. That's not the right way. And so here he is in verse, and let's go to verse 10. It says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Get up, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying.'" Wow. Now Saul is praying. Praying for what? You know, if this happens to me, I'm praying for understanding. I'm praying to know, what is it I just learned? What is it that just hit me? Like, this is new. There is something that I've not known before, but now I know it. And isn't it great that we can pray to God for comfort in that leading of the right direction? Let's continue on. Verse 12. "And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.'" So I'll pause right here. So our past may catch up to us. There may be a lot of consequences that we may have to endure when we make a change in our lives. When we make a change, we may lose family, we may lose friends, we may lose jobs, we may be beat all every day for the rest of our lives. But it's okay, because the change you're making is for a better life than the one you were living. Even if the one you were living felt great, but it's not going to feel great when this life is over. And so here Paul is going to suffer, and we know Paul is going to suffer a lot for the life he chose to live before making his change. So let's continue. It says, "So Ananias..." Verse 17 says, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized and took food and was strengthened." So we can see right here that Ananias has made it to Paul. Paul is with Ananias, and these scales finally come off. These are not, we know these are physical scales, but look at these are spiritual scales. Paul can finally see the truth. And he makes a decision to change. And that change is through baptism. He could have said, hey, I got my sight back. I'm going back to the old way. Or Paul, we know how he lives the rest of his life. You know, he could continue down this another road, this road after this change, and say, you know what, I'm going back. I'm going back before this Damascus road because I want to be Saul again. He could have made that decision. Just like you and I, we could always go back. But the key with Paul and his life is he doesn't go back, because the road that he was on was the wrong road. And it was a road that was going to lead him to an everlasting damnation. But the biggest problem is that he was never going to be able to dwell with God. Going back to the first comment and what God really wants from each and every one of us. He just wants to be with us. Imagine somebody you want to be with so bad that that's what you think about all the time. That's the way God has felt about us from the beginning. Each and every one of us. All he wants is to dwell with you and I. Yeah, I don't know, you know, maybe family members who have passed away, or your kids who are gone, or your spouse that you can't see no more. Whoever it may be, that feeling that you miss, God misses you and I. God wants you and I. God wants us to dwell together for an eternity. That's why he created us. No other reason he created, be no other reason to create us. Unless he, you know, just wanted us to just go live our lives and never be with him. No, he created us because he wants to be with us. He wants to dwell with us. And Paul is now going to live his life understanding that I've got to do everything I can to get home to my Father, just like you and I. Now, let's continue on in verse. So, actually, I didn't finish up 19, but halfway through 19, towards the end of the verse, it says, now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. Look what he does. And he immediately began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving this Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. And this is one of those things where your past may change, may be difficult for you to get involved. People may not want to have anything to do with you. You know, can you blame the disciples here? Like, they knew this man to be this person who's going to, you know, chain them up. But now he's doing the exact opposite. He's worshiping with them and wants to be with them. So, yes, your past may come back to haunt you. There may be things in your life you'll never be able to get back. But those things you don't need anyway. As long as you're on a road of change, a road that leads you home to heaven, that's the road you need to focus on, even if those around you have wants nothing to do with you. Verse 27. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus, and how he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to increase. But look what happens, though, to someone who has lived this life of blindness. Look at what you do to other people, though, who maybe they're blind or maybe they're confused. When you change your life, it's a huge influence on those that are around you. Because now, all of a sudden, this And I should say that you were always a just a mean person in general. And then all of a sudden you're just this nicer, kinder, gentler person. All of a sudden that you switched it. You know, you now have made a change in someone else's life, and you may not even realize it. When they see you and they, man, this Brian guy, he's different now. Like, I didn't want to be around him. I look forward to being around him now. And that life, that is a better life to live and feel, because the life you would have had prior to the change that you make would have not been one you want to continue. It only leads down more and more pain. Because in our lives, the only thing that actually matters is whether or not we get to heaven, and anything that takes us away from it isn't worth it. Nothing. Then that's the hardest part, because we don't know what heaven is like. None of us know what it's like to die. We have people around us who have passed away. We all know family. We all know friends. But you know what we do know is that we actually just live, and we live eternally. And you can either make a choice to live twice or die twice. That's up to you. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that wants to die twice. And the spiritual death is one you can't come back from. And Paul recognized fairly quickly that I'm not taking that road. I'm changing, just like you and I should be able to do. And we go real quick to Acts 22. So Paul just kind of recaps his life. Really recaps everything. And, I thought I was going to read this whole thing again, but I think we were, I'm just going to do a couple bits and pieces of it. So let's just go to verse 3 for just a moment. It says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as all you are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison. So see, Paul was taught wrong from the beginning. You know, it's not Paul's fault from an earthly standpoint that he lived this way. It was what he'd known. It's what he was taught. He was taught wrong. But see, look at what he did, though, when he changed. And if we go to verse 6, but it happened that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go on into Damascus. So Paul did, what did he do? We know he got up and he went into Damascus. And there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand of those who were with me and came into Damascus. Then he recaps to Ananias. And I want to go towards verse 15 here. And it says, for you will be a witness for him to all men who will have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So Paul was not saved just by being on this road and with Jesus presenting this message. There's still something else Paul had to do. The salvation came through, obviously, this baptism, but it was a continuation of his life with this new way of thinking. So we know baptism is important, but it's a change. Mm-hmm. You could get baptized and not change. Like, that's pretty common practice. It's the change. Paul made a decision to change. And, you know, there's this huge misconception about calling the name of the Lord. We all have to call on the name of the Lord. The expectation was, what does that mean? It actually says right here, get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. That's how you call on the name of the Lord. But if you don't continue in through this new understanding like Paul does, you are never going to actually call on God's name, because you're always going to continue to have sin in your life with not understanding the true word of God. And then if we go down towards the end of this chapter,
We know that he's doing, actually, the next four chapters, he's doing everything he can to prove his defense. And you know, we really see Paul taking a stand now for all the stuff that he persecuted, for all the stuff that he was wrong with. You and I should take a stand for that and stop. That's what Paul does. He takes a stand and he stops. He changes. He makes a change in his life, just like you and I should do. Anything that's going to stand in our way from a road of change, we have to stop. I didn't intend for this lesson to be long. We just, there's not, you know, this sort of set of verses kind of changes itself. But see, here's the problem, though. If you make a decision not to change, you're going to end up on a lonely road. And that lonely road is one where God is not going to dwell with you. And I don't know about you, but with God on our side, we never have to go down a road alone. None of us do. We may feel physically alone, but spiritually, we should be so uplifted and so grateful and thankful that we've got God on our side, and that each and every one of us can change our lives no matter what we've done. There's nothing you can do that is any worse than what Paul was killing people, killing God's people of all people. I can tell you, I don't know anyone here who has went around killing Christians. So there's nothing you can do in this life or have done in this life that God will not forgive and that you can't change, because you can absolutely change it. You just need to make a decision that today is the day I'm going to make that change. There will be a day, though, where if you don't make that change, it will be too late. So it's up to you. And so I ask, as you go through the rest of the day, through this week, is there anything you need to change? Change it. Is there anything you want us to help you change? We're here to help. I'm telling you, there's something you might have done that I probably have done at one time in my life. I could tell you, this is how I stopped it. And, you know, there may be things that Jeff has done that I didn't do, but Jeff may be able to tell you how he stopped it. Any one of us here, we're all human, and we've all had human thinkings, and I'm telling you that if you need help with changing, we are here to help you. If there's anything that we can do, though, please come forward together as we stand and as we sing.